Good evening and welcome on this most holiest and special night. Merry Christmas to you from the Asbury staff. And we're so pleased you're here to worship with us. And I encourage you to register your attendance on the pads provided for you, and we'll pick them up later. Tonight we'll be having Holy Communion, and at the conclusion of communion, as you leave the chancel rail, there's a basket over here. The altar guild will hand you a candle for the candlelight part of the service. There's also a basket there if you wish to make a Christmas offering. Let's worship together and be in the Spirit of Christ. As we stand, would you join with me in the call to worship? Silent night, holy night.
Behold the wonder, born in life.
Born a child, yet a king.
A promise fulfilled, the angels sing.
Sing of love, sing of life. The Prince of Peace shall end all strife.
Our opening hymn, 218. You may be seated. I'd like to invite Brode and Chloe Miller Morgan to come forward as they lead us in the lighting of the Christ candle.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Tonight we light this candle as a symbol of Christ, who was born into our lives over 2,000 years ago, that through the good news of his gospel he might be born anew in our lives through salvation. May the warmth and glow of his presence illumine our paths forever. Please join in the congregational prayer response. Almighty Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. May we honor his birth by living our lives in the fullness of hope, peace, joy, and love, that in doing so, others would experience the difference in having Christ know him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'd love to invite the children to come forward at this time if they join me. We're going to sit right here. We're going to sit. all are just beautiful. Oh, we've got one, two more. Yay! Come on, join us. It's wonderful to see you all. I don't even need to start asking you if you're excited because I can see it on your faces. And tonight, I'm going to read you a story that began all of this excitement. One special night. It is. You are.
Tomorrow is Christmas.
It is. Today's Christmas Eve. It is. You're so smart. Well, let's read all about it. Okay. An angel visits Mary. Long ago, a woman named Mary lived in a town called Nazareth. And Mary loved God very much and always tried to do exactly what was right. And one day, God sent his angel Gabriel to give her a very special message. And Mary was startled to see him.
Angel.
That's right. Hello, Mary. Don't be afraid. God has chosen you to have a special baby boy, Gabriel said. You will name him Jesus, and he will be God's son. Nothing is impossible for God, Gabriel answered, and Mary nodded. I am God's servant. I will do whatever he asks of me. So, months later, the Roman emperor announced that he wanted all the people to go to the town for the census. And every person needed to return to his hometown. And Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph. Mary, we must go to Bethlehem for the census, Joseph said. The journey to Bethlehem was long, and the Bethlehem was very crowded. And when Mary and Joseph got to the little town, there was no room for them at the inn. But Mary and Joseph found a warm, clean stable. And while they were there, Mary gave birth to a baby boy, Jesus, and laid him in the soft hay of the manger. Good news about a Savior. So, nearby, a group of shepherds were watching over their sheep. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared out of the darkness. I bring you good news of great joy, the angel said. Today a Savior has been born. You will find him wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Then the sky was filled with angels all around them, and the angels praised God and sang a joyful song. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth to God's people. As quickly as they appeared, the angels were gone. We must go to Bethlehem and find what the angel told us about, the shepherds said to one another. Well, the shepherds hurried to see if what they had been told was true. And when they got to Bethlehem, they found the place where Mary and Joseph were staying. The shepherds looked in, and there among the sheep and cows, they saw a newborn baby lying in a manger. They excitedly told Mary and Joseph what the angel said about the special baby boy. He's the Savior. He's Christ the Lord. After their visit, the men walked about what they had seen and they heard and they talked about it. And everyone the shepherds talked to about the baby was amazed to hear the news. And then they went back to their sheep praising and thanking God for this day. They did. Well, when the men far away had been watching the stars in the sky, and when a new bright star appeared, they knew something important had happened. A special king had been born. And these wise men followed the star and traveled many, many miles. They weren't mean kings. They were nice, but they were very smart kings.
I heard it on the other book.
You did?
My teacher's on the book of that.
Okay, we're losing control here. So the wise men arrived on one special night in Bethlehem, and God sent us his son, the Savior for all people, and his name was?
Jesus.
Join me in a prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this wonderful story that as many times as it is told, it is still new and wondrous to us. And we are thankful for the greatest gift that any of us will receive this Christmas or any other day in which we live, and that is the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he's our Savior, and we thank you for these children, and may they have a blessed, wonderful Christmas, and may they feel that spirit of Christmas this day. and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, I'd like to hand you a treat. And if you'll come up to me, I'll hand you one, okay? Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't want a treat because I don't like candy.
Okay. All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you, sweetheart.
You should have said happy birthday to God when you prayed.
Happy birthday to Jesus. Yes. All right.
It is such a blessing to have these little ones amongst us. Let us now bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, what a joy it is to gather together on this Christmas Eve where we celebrate the gift of your Son. That love incarnate is amongst us and will always be amongst us. Lord, for some of us, we didn't travel too far to be here, but our spirits are rejoicing and are excited to give you praise. Some of us journeyed many miles to be here and are relieved to be with family and celebrating you. However, God, we know there are folks out there that haven't quite gotten the Christmas spirit yet, or who are struggling with sad memories around this time of the year. Father, we pray for them and seek for you to bless them, to give them peace and the assurance that you are with them this Christmas. Holy One, there are those who are lonely, cold, hungry, without shelter on this Christmas Eve. And we especially pray for those persons who need you more than ever this Christmas. May you be a strong foundation for them that they can rest their hope and faith on. How sweet it is, majestic God, that we gather to sing, hear your scriptures read, your word proclaimed, and take part in the holy meal of communion on this Christmas Eve. May we not take for granted all the blessings we have received and cherish these moments of gathering around the manger. For we know the little Christ child born so long ago is indeed the King of Kings, who offers love, grace, forgiveness, strength, and redemption to all. Guide us in the days ahead and help us to remember to keep the Christmas spirit. Help us to hold on to Christ and keep him strong within our hearts so that we might share him with others in this world. We give you the honor, give you the glory and the praise, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
One small child in a land of a thousand, one small dream of a Savior tonight, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small city of life. One king bringing his gold and riches, one king ruling an army of might, one king kneeling with incense and candlelight, one king bringing us life. Ooh, ooh. See him lying a cradle beneath him, see him smiling in the stall, see his mother praising his father, see his tiny eyelids fall. One small light from the flame of a candle, one small light from a city of might, One small light from the stars in the endless night. One small light from his face. Ooh, ooh. See the shepherds kneeling before him. See the kings on bended knee. See the mother praising his father. See the blessed infant sleep. One small child in a land of a thousand. One small dream of a people of night. One small hand reaching out to the starlight. One small savior of life. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Let us be standing as we sing the doxology. The text can be found on page 95. It will be singing to the tune of O Come Emmanuel. Remain standing for our hymn of meditation, O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 230. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4.
It is always my joy and privilege to read to you from God's holy word. Tonight we're going to be looking at the prophecy of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. May the people of God be enriched in their lives by hearing and reading from this word of God as recorded in Isaiah 11, 1 through 6. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. Most of you have received Christmas cards by now. A few years back, my family and I received a very interesting Christmas card, one like I've never received before or since. On the front of the card was something that I'd only seen twice else in my life. And that was at the birth of my own children, when there was an inky footprint that the hospital took once they were born. And there on this Christmas card, the implication was clear. The footprint of the Son of God, the footprint of God's love upon our heart on the face of this Christmas greeting. Over 2,000 years ago, a real live baby was born. Born to a woman named Mary. And indeed, he was the Son of God, our Savior. He didn't ask to be born. He didn't ask to come into the world in the way in which he did. In fact, he didn't have a say at all. It was God's way and God's will to bring himself into the world in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the love of God brought to you and me. And that's the way of our God, to be right in the middle of our lives, loving us, listening to us, being present and among us. Christ would be God's gift to you and me to meet and fulfill his purpose. And God chose the fresh start of a new life in the form of a baby. A real, live, squalling, wiggling, giggling, hungry, cooing baby. The prophets had foretold about him, but many believed the Messiah to be a myth of sorts, this long-awaited promise. God incarnate. How could that be? How could God come and be human and still be God? Just another human. Just another baby. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Our world has many myths about gods and saviors. But the startling difference is exactly that Jesus was a real live person. Put another way, a husband loses his keys. He comes to his wife and he says, 'Do you know where my keys are?' And the wife says, 'That's a matter of the senses, not the intellect.' In other words, it's not a mind game. Get up and see what happened to your keys." You see, that's what the shepherds did. They got up to see if what had been told to them really happened. They ran and they found the baby just as the angelic host had promised them. It really happened just the way that they were told. They found the baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and yes, lying in a manger. And the reality of Jesus didn't stop there. He grew up to be a little boy. He played like children play. He took trips with his parents, like children do. He went to church or temple, and he learned. And he grew in the wisdom and the grace and the knowledge of God, and then he quit just learning at the temple. He began to teach at the temple. In fact, he began to teach wherever he was, on top of the mountains, by the seashore, even from a boat. God's wisdom and grace followed him wherever he went. He was able to perform miracles. He was able to tick off people because he was so smart, so truthful, so God. And being so God and so sacrificial in giving the truth, he eventually died and did so with dignity. But it did not stop with his death. He triumphed over the grave in resurrection and grace. All of this documented, not once, not twice, but many times over. All of these events, life-changing. And the personal Jesus Christ I know, and I pray you know, is still changing lives. Amen? He's not a myth. Knowing Jesus is knowing a miracle. A man walks into my congregation as lost as a person can be, down on his luck, down in his mouth. He hears God's word of love and forgiveness and understanding, and somehow a light bulb goes off. He begins to have his faith restored in God and in himself. A woman is feeling panic over almost every area of her life. You listen to it and you sense the panic and the anxiety and the agony. Panic over the loss of her career. Panic over the ending of a relationship. She feels all alone, and she comes into the church one morning. People greet her. People are nice to her. They invite her to become a part of a group. They invite her to go to the Stone Soup Mission. They invite her into the fellowship and the warmth of Christ's love around her. And suddenly, she goes from being all alone and panic-stricken to suddenly feeling accepted, wanted, needed. And it's a tonic to her soul. And all of these scenarios I've just described are lived out in the name of a man called Jesus. And these people know this man. It's the knowledge of him as their personal savior that drives them to connect to people who need to know him as well. He is their savior, and their words and actions are done out of love, because to know Jesus is to know love. And to love Jesus is to know Jesus. And to know Jesus is to know a change in one's life. This evening, it's so wonderful to see you all sitting with family and friends. But I have a question to ask. Is Jesus this myth for you, or has he become a bona fide miracle for you? real and personal? Do you allow Jesus to get into your business? Or do you keep him at arm's length? Like some friendships where you realize that you're only called upon when you're needed. Do we find Jesus just close enough to grab him when we need him, but not too close, or he may affect us? The prophet Jeremiah said the words of God, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. My friends, enter this evening in this enormous mystery. Like Jesus, you too are the beloved son and daughter of God." And that's so hard for you and I to put ourselves in that category because Jesus is so perfect. And you and I are not. But this enormous mystery of which I speak is the fact that God doesn't wait on you and me to be perfect to love us. Thanks be to God. That's why it's called grace. We are given Jesus and salvation without deserving it. The kind of love from God preceded your birth and mine. Because God has known us before we were ever formed. Psalm 139:13. O God, thou didst form my inward being. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for thou art wonderful. God gave Jesus to live within you. And to live within me. And to fill up our beings. How often do we find ourselves at times and find others at times trying to fill a void? And things don't fill that void. And even people cannot fill that void. And there's only one answer that fills that void. That one who has never left us in the first place, but is waiting to be reinvited to fill the void. Jesus. I'll close with this story. In a church much like this one, over a decade ago, a church about this size, I was serving communion that night in a rather different manner. We were going to be passing through the pews the individual cups and the individual wafers. And at the instruction of saying, "This is my body," the words of Christ, "Eat in remembrance of me." "And this is my blood," and "Drink this in remembrance of me." "This is Jesus Christ given for you." As I'd given those instructions, and you could see almost like one body of Christ, everyone eating at the same time, drinking at the same time, and bowed in prayer at the same moment, I heard about on the third pew, as the little girl partook of the elements, the body of Christ, she asked her mommy as she looked down, "Is he in me yet?" How perfect is that? The question tonight, myth or miracle, is Jesus in you yet? There's no greater music to the ear of God. For all the angels that have ever sung, all the praises that the people of God have ever sung, all the bells that have ever pealed, all the sermons that have ever preached, nothing is greater to the ear of God than his people saying, "I love you, God. And I want to live for you." Myth to miracle, one holds all the possibilities, the fantasies, the expectations. The other holds the reality of eternity, the blessings and hope that does not disappoint. Shall we, like the shepherds, run away from the commercial myths and sentimental trappings and run toward instead the miracle of Christ, the eternal love which quite frankly is the ultimate gift for you to unwrap this Christmas Eve. May the spirit of Christmas live with you far beyond the candles and the carols and the communion. May the spirit of Christmas live with you and be with you forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It is a joy to be gathered here as the body of Christ on this holy day of Christmas Eve. And it is now time that we come forward to receive Holy Communion, the bread and the juice. And I want everyone in this room, this holy place, to know that this is an open table. All are invited to partake in Holy Communion. This is not Asbury's table. It is not a United Methodist table. We believe it is Christ's table. Christ died for all. That means all are able to come forward and receive if you so desire. A couple of instructions is that you will be led forward by the ushers, and you'll receive the bread and a cup, and you can take time to come to the altar to pray if you'd like. And as you leave, you will receive a candle from one of our altar guild persons, and then you can, if you so desire, to place a Christmas offering in the basket as you leave. We also have a gluten-free option if you require that need. Please join me in the liturgy found in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right to give him thanks. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, at this blessed Christmas feast, we give you thanks and praise. You created out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You made us in your image. And though we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory, you loved the world so much you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so from suffering and death you raised him to bring us life. Therefore, with the angels who sang glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth, with your people in all ages and the whole company of heaven, we join in the song of unending praise, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
As your word became flesh, born of a woman on that night long ago, so on the night he offered himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto the Lord, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks unto God. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me. Therefore, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice for us, as a living and holy surrender of ourselves as we join together. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send the power of your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be one in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in the world, and look forward to his coming in the final victory. Through him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Will those who are going to assist this evening please come forward at this time?
Hymn number 239, Silent Night, Holy Night. During the singing of the hymn, the pastors will light their candle from the Christ candle, symbolizing Christ's light into the world. On the very final two phrases of this song, on the final verse, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Let us lift our candles on those two phrases to signify that Christ has come into the world. Let us be standing.
May the peace of Christ live in your hearts and be with you forever. Amen.